Hi, Hags. Welcome back to Young Hag on WCHC 88.1, Worcester's only alternative source. Today, I have a themed show for you. So my good friend, Elaine Losey, should I full name her on the air? Whatever. Back in my hometown, on her college show, did a chemistry show last week. And I was like, that's brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? Now, I'm not a chem major. I'm a classics major. And you may be thinking, oh, what, are you going to play the Beatles? No, I've gotten that question 2 times already. But no, we're going to play classics, as in ancient Mediterranean studies, its newfangled name. So yeah, all of our songs will be classically inspired, classically named. We'll see. Starting off, what do we have? Oh yeah, this is a good one. This is Andromeda by Wiseblood.
It's lazy running for my own life now. I'm really turning some time, looking up to the sky for something I may never find.
That was Andromeda by Wiseblood. Best known for her constellation, Andromeda was the wife of the hero Perseus, who Percy Jackson is named for. She was trapped to a rock, sea monster trying to kill her. There's a lot of really great art, especially in Pompeii, of Andromeda and the sea monster. And there's one that is like so silly looking. I love it so much. I will find the name of the villa that it's in, so if you want to look it up, you can. But wouldn't blame me if you didn't. Up next, we've got Medea by Bird Talker, considered by some to be the original young hag.
Love, when at first you came to me, to dream, but now you shake me up. My voice is choking. You've taken from me all my goodness and you broke it. If you can break it, why don't you mend my heart?
That was Medea, or Medea, by Bird Talker. Cool lady. She might be incorporated into my thesis senior year as like a foreignized woman from Corinth, so not Athenian, and how her suffering is portrayed on stage. God, I wish we had Ovid's translation. Ovid's play, Medea. Yeah, the original Young Hag. Okay, up next, a little bit of a stretch, not a mythological figure. This is I Dreamed I Saw St. Augustine. Wonderful Latin author. It's a Bob Dylan song, but if you have listened to this show before, you know that I only play Joan Baez covers of Bob Dylan songs. So this is Joan Baez's cover of I Dreamed I Saw St. Augustine.
I dreamed I saw St. Augustine alive as you or me, tearing through these quarters in the utmost misery, with a blanket underneath his arm and a coat of solid.
I Dreamed I Saw St. Augustine, which is also, by the way, traditionally pronounced as Augustine, but rhyming schemes and whatnot. I'm not passionate about Augustine. Important author, but I don't know. I have a lot of nostalgia for a lot of the mythological figures on this, particularly the two in Hadestown, Orpheus and Eurydice. This is from the concept album that the composer Anais Mitchell did before she did the full musical. Fun fact about me, the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice was the first myth that, like, first story that made me cry as a kid. I was probably, like, 9 when I read a version of it, and it was one of the first stories I'd read that did not have a happy ending, and it's not fair, and the two lovers don't get to be together, and it stinks. And that had a profound impact on me. And that's probably why I love Hadestown so much. So this is Epic Part 1 from the Hadestown concept album.
King of diamonds, king of spades, Hades was king of the kingdom of dirt. Miners of mines, diggers of graves, they bowed down to Hades who gave them work.
bowed down to Hades, who made them sweat, who paid them their wages and set them about digging and dredging and dragging the depths of the earth to turn its insides out, singing la 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 la. Bricks, the river Styx was a river of stones, and haze laid him high and thick, with a million hands that were not his own, and a million feet that fell in line, stepped in time with Hades' step, and a million lines that were just one mind. Stones in row, stone by stone, row by row, the river rose up singing by.
Epic Part 1 from Hadestown, the concept album. It's really just called Hadestown, but I have to clarify. Okay, so yes, that's from the musical about the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, but that song is about Hades. Hades is such a cool figure, but he's been ruined by popular culture lately. I might be talking about this a little bit. There's this refrain right now in popular reception to myth that makes the Hades and Persephone story so boring and just a basic love story where Persephone's mean mom wants to break them up. Ugh. But in reality, it's a really beautiful story about a mother who mourns her daughter so much that she makes everything stop growing. And the word manus in Greek, which describes Demeter's rage at losing her daughter, is the same word used for Achilles. It's the first line of the Iliad. Rage, goddess, sing of the rage of Achilles, of Peleus' son. Also, speaking of the Iliad, this is probably not intentional, but I love the dog barking at the end, because so much of ancient Greek, like the ancient Greek words, like the text imagery of death has to do with being eaten by dogs and birds. So, you know, a song about Hades and a musical about death having a lot of dog imagery is very smart of Miss Mitchell. Okay, up next, we have Medusa by Blackpool. A lot of the songs on here, when I was like really deep in my I want to go into academia stuff in high school, I just loved songs with classical titles. So a lot of these are like really big throwbacks for me. And this is one of them. Like I said, Medusa by Blackpool.
Ready?
Oh, where have I seen that girl before? Where, oh, where have I seen that girl before? Maybe I've seen her in the movies. Maybe I've seen her in the magazines. Oh, darling, love like yours shouldn't go unseen. But oh, where have I seen that beauty before? One look in her eyes, the left stone cold, stone cold, stone cold. Maybe I've seen her. She's my sister's friend from school.
stone cold,
stone cold, stone cold.
Maybe I've seen her in the movies. Maybe I've seen her in the magazines. Oh, darling, love like yours, you shouldn't go unseen.
You know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You just heard Medusa by Blackpool. Medusa is a source of like major contention within modern classics reception. There's a lot of question over whether or not the myth is feminist or not. I don't really believe that anything in the classics... I take that back. I think that most things that we consider feminist in the classics are more proto-feminist. And besides, literally nothing is consistent throughout Greek and Roman mythology, because for so long these were oral stories. So, you know, there's going to be different undertones to every telling of Medusa. But basically, the question is, number one, when Medusa was with Poseidon in Athena's temple, which was what offended Athena and earned her punishment of snake hair. As a Gorgon, she didn't just get snakes for hair. Was she there consensually? Was Athena protecting her by making her, like, so that no one can look on her? Basically, no man could look on her. Or was Athena just being, like, really lame and a prude? But I don't know. I don't really have thoughts on this. If you guys do, let me know. I don't think you can call in. Well, maybe you could call into the station. IDK. But if you have thoughts, say them out loud to yourself and just ruminate on them. Up next, another test throwback. This is Sappho by Frankie Kosmos. And then I'm going to play right after that Persephone by Sidney Gish.
From the street I see your window and I look up in. Is that even your house? Is that Sappho you're reading? Is it cool and I don't care? Can you feel me in the air? Under the crack in the door, can you tell I have no fall? And I'm shivering, just thinking, where have you been all these minutes? I'm too stressed out to do the thing that they won't do. Why should I fight back? House, is that your landing? And I wanna know what
don't care. Can you feel me in the air? Under the crack in the door, can you tell I have no floor? I'm not grounded.
That was Persephone, yes, Persephone, by Sidney Gish, after Sappho by Frankie Kosmos. I mentioned Persephone a bit earlier, so I'll talk about Sappho. Sappho was a Greek poet and a woman. What? Two for one. And she was so good, she was considered so good in her day, that Plato called her the 10th muse. She has a really beautiful poem, one of my favorites is 31, that I think there's dispute, but it's pretty queer. Anne Carson does a nice, sparse translation of it because everything we have of Sappho is in fragments, just about. So no poem is complete, and she leaves it off at the end because all is to be dared, because even a person of poverty, no punctuation, just leaves it off there. Good for her. Yeah, Sappho over the years has been like, I mean, in history and even in myth at her time was kind of like mythologized as a tragic heterosexual woman. A lot of the mythology around her says that she threw herself off of the cliffs of Lesbos, her home island, because a ferryman didn't love her back. Which, whatever. there's no proof for this. We do have, like, jokes about, contemporary jokes about her husband, quote-unquote, and his name is just, like, Man of Male Appendage Island, and it's ridiculous and very funny. She was probably queer, because also we have evidence of queer women in antiquity. Aristophanes talks about them in the Symposium, which is all about love. He talks about, like, soulmates being ripped apart by the gods. We all used to be attached to each other. So he talks about men finding women, men finding men, and some women finding women, which you did not get a lot of in the ancient world. So Sappho was probably not alone. She had her girlfriends. Okay, up next, we have a major throwback for me. This was probably my favorite song for, like, 3 years in high school. I don't know. I still do like this song. I just haven't listened to it in a while. This is Alrighty Aphrodite by Peach Pit.
Child, if the ocean's not enough, nor am I, rolling in, I feel a dark swell, crawling up the skin of my spine. If I know you sold on me, go with that rain for other eyes. Run morning bath in sea foam. Soak your milky skin.
That was Alrighty Aphrodite by Peach Pit. Guys, seriously, that was my favorite song for so long. Aphrodite, fun fact, is one of our oldest goddesses. period. There's roots of like similar fertility and love goddesses with similar mythology throughout like ancient times. People like to connect her to Ishtar. That's pretty well founded. But I think there's also merit to letting Ishtar be her own thing. That's a Mesopotamian goddess that predates Aphrodite by a long time. I'm spoiling the next song for you to say it's going to be Cupid Deloc by Smashing Pumpkins. One of the oldest things in the universe of Greco-Roman mythology is Eros, the Greek word for Cupid, or love. So in the beginning, to use a Christian, Judeo-Christian aphorism, there was chaos, nothingness. There was Nyx, darkness, and there was Eros, love. More readily translated into a kind of like physical, like typical kissy, smoochy love. In our modern sense, there's lots of words for love in ancient Greece, but that's like our go-to word. So yeah, Eros, also seen as Aphrodite's son, kind of also predates her. It's weird and silly, and like I said, nothing is consistent in ancient literature. But yeah, Aphrodite's really cool. She's got a lot of fun myths. She's very silly. Yeah, so up next we have Cupid Deloc by the Smashing Pumpkins.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, you just heard Cupid Deloc by the Smashing Pumpkins. I always think it's fascinating that love is like is a primordial deity in Greco-Roman folklore. My favorite story about Eros slash Cupid, there's contention there, is the story of Cupid and Psyche, which is from Apuleius's Metamorphoses, also known as the Golden Ass. It's a great story. If you've never read it, I highly recommend. I think it's, there's not a lot of true romance in Greco-Roman mythology, but I think this one is actually very sweet and romantic. There's dispute about whether or not it's actually a Greek story, because Psyche is a Greek name, but the first written version that we have of it is Latin in Metamorphoses, not Ovid's, not to be confused. And I think that it's probably Greek in origin, just an oral story, and this was the first time it was, well, this is the first record we have of it being written down, because the Greeks in the old times did not write a lot of stuff down. They started to, and then the Romans took over. Okay, up next, we've got Sisyphus by Andrew Bird. You may know him from Albert Camus.
Into the mist, the stones drove from the precipice, paused. Did he jump or did he fall as he gazed into the morning mist? Did he raise both fists and say to hell with this and jest? Let the rock roll. Let it go, let it crash down low. There's a house down there, but I lost it long.
This peered into the mist, a stone stole from a precipice, paused.
That was Sisyphus by Andrew Bird. I learned that not a lot of people actually know the myth of Sisyphus. They just know the one must imagine Sisyphus happy, which is valid, because silly joke on the internet, but and also good work of existentialist philosophy. But the reason why Camus' application of Sisyphus is so good is because when Sisyphus rolls that boulder up a hill, he does it to get out of Hades, to get out of death. He was sentenced to this because he tried to cheat death by faking dying and then trying to run away like several times until Thanatos and Hades got sick of him. And so he does have a goal in mind. He is trying to reach a mean, and the sad thing is that he thinks he can actually achieve it. And that's where the existentialist philosophy comes in. Yeah, great. Up next, we have Francesca by Hozier. I'm not a huge Hozier fan, but the first time I heard this, I was like, okay, yeah, I dig this, and I dig the classical imagery. This is based on a character and a historical figure, Francesca da Rimini, who is featured in Dante's Inferno in the second circle of hell, which is lust, where winds blow all the time, very heavy winds, to represent being blown away by passion. And a big part of Francesca's downfall is that she refuses to recognize her own agency in her extramarital affair. So yeah, this is Francesca.
Do you think I'd give up? That this might assure the love from me, that I was on the brink. How could you think, darling, I'd scare so easily? Now that it's done, there's not one thing that I would change. My life was a storm since I was born. How could I feel any hurricane? If someone asked me at the end, I'd tell them put me back in a
That was Francesca by Hozier. I hope you remember that thing I said about agency, because I really like that in this interpretation, he takes the agency back and he's like, no, I'd do it again. That's cool. That's a cool interpretation. Okay, finishing off, we have Brutus by The Buttress. This is a super cool interpretation of Brutus's assassination of Julius Caesar. I think that Brutus should always be played by a woman. Not always, but usually. My friend Lee told me about a really cool staging of Julius Caesar, the Shakespearean one, but still classical inspiration, set in a woman's prison, and that's sick. But in general, I think it's really cool if Brutus is the only woman on stage. I was really into this song in high school. I think it's very interesting. I think that it's a really cool reinterpretation of Brutus's motives, which to this day are still debated. So I hope you've enjoyed my yapping about my major. It's been lovely having you on WCHC 88.1, Worcester's only alternative source. This has been Young Hag. I'm your Young Hag, Tess, and I will see you guys next Monday. This is Brutus by The Buttress.
Rex.